the last vertical, the last order, I should say last but not least, we term the science vertical. But its position is really that of the other three verticals, the Word, the Christ, Christianity, all put together. It's just a timeless, spaceless view of the entire cybernetic circuit that is occurring on that dimension. That order on the divine science dimension simply is seeing that the subjective, as it appears objectively, is all one. That the subjective and the objective are one. That divine principle is a principle of love. It does truly contain everything within itself. It truly has integrated every facet of its own being. And it has the capability of not only organizing those facets, but explaining those facets within itself, to itself. And on the levels of absolute Christian science and Christian science, that science column, that science vertical just stands for the fact that it is therefore interpreting itself to its idea, absolute Christian science, and it is interpreting itself to the human Christian science. That principle is so full of love that it couldn't leave out any aspect of its being, that every aspect of its being truly knows its purpose, truly knows its place. And I am not outside of that. So if that infinite being has a divine purpose, and it's a holographic being, then I am a facet of that holograph, and I too have that purpose. My uniqueness comes in the fact that I have a specific position within the holograph. Therefore, I am able to reflect that divine mission in a way that no other facet of the whole can reflect. But we all not only are the same qualities, but we reflect the entire same mission. That's not good English. But anyway, we have the same purpose, to glorify the whole. There just is no other purpose. We can identify that purpose here in our human experience in different ways, depending on how we're open to the real purpose of our being. But in truth, we only have one purpose, and that's to serve our specific holographic mission within the whole, to reflect and to glorify the entire being. It's a wonderful purpose. It's a fantastic purpose. We couldn't have a greater purpose. In the human, it may echo down to telling us to do different things or leading us into different ways. But basically, I am fulfilled. I must fulfill this divine purpose that I have. As being is interpreting itself within itself, to its idea, therefore, to what appears to be the human, because that being is a principle, and that principle has structure. The way in which we can understand the being of our own being, the structure of our own being, therefore the mission of our own experience, truly is through structure. And that's why this wonderful chart, which is the model of being, is the model of my being, is the structure of my being. So as I view facets of it, as I zero in on various what appear to be dimensions or columns or specific laws, I'm really just zeroing in on facets of my own being. And as I flow there, as I focus there, as I pray there, what I'm really doing is opening up places in my own consciousness that have appeared to be closed. What I'm really doing by exercising, by focusing, by flowing, by praying, by desiring, is getting Maria out of the way so that I can be transparent in that place, so that the real qualities of my being will shine forth, so that the real functions of my being will occur. I'm really getting the dormant, false, sleepy consciousness to awaken in those places, and I'm really dusting off the cobwebs, as it were, and letting in the light in those places. So I can't think personally of anything better to do with my life. Because who doesn't want to be clear in every facet of one's being so that one doesn't meet up with the claims of animal magnetism or accident or magic? One doesn't wish to be used by the belief of mortal mind. So therefore, I can't think of anything that is a greater treasure or worth more of my energy than to clear areas of my own being and to make sure that every facet point of my own holographic being is clear. Because only then can I really fulfill the mission of my own being within being. Only then can I really explore what we call our great individuality, but it's really the wonderful uniqueness that I have within the whole. So in the interest of being clear, we're now going to focus back specifically on the word of God. I don't use the term God very often, but it's a good term at this point because I really feel that with it comes our spiritual sense and our devotion and that place within us that really wants to be one with the infinite and really wants to know what God is. In the law of interdependence, in the word, the focus is on the divine subjective being. And you'll notice in your packet that the next chart in order is a chart which says the word Absolute Christian Science / Christian Science. On that chart, I have put the law of the word in Absolute Christian Science as given by Max Kepler, and the law on the Christian Science level also given by Max Kepler in 1973 when he was here in this country. One, just by virtue of its mission, the one on the Absolute Christian Science level, is referred to as the law of divine impulsion, the law on the Christian Science level referred to as the law of creativity. So today, as I view the word order and what it is on the Absolute and Christian Science levels and how they relate, I'm going to do it through the standpoint of law. The word on the Absolute Christian Science level, which is stated in Science and Health through the terms life, truth, love, sounded together like great chord. They sound that wonderful function in being where the divine subjective being, where the divine life is just surging within itself with energy. It just has an incredible desire within itself to express that which it is. It has a thrust almost within itself that brings forth that which it is from the center, from the core, from the well of its being. It cannot even help this function. It just is what it is, and within itself it is forever declaring that which it is revealing unto itself that which it is, and because it is doing that, It is just accelerating and accelerating from within itself. You can just feel this incredible energy that's going on with being, this desire within itself to express itself. And that being is expressing what it is. It's doing it without a time sense. It just is expressing the entirety of its own subjective being, of its own qualities. But if we want to view those qualities and see what it is that it is desiring to express, what is that divine being? What is it that it wishes to express? Then we can hear it saying, as we focus on it, that which I am is mind. I am a conceptive intelligence. I'm an all-knowing, all-seeing, all-perceiving intelligence that is capable of conceiving myself as idea. I am capable, therefore, of creating and bringing forth ideas. And that deep subjective being is saying within itself, and I am spirit. I am the only substance that there is. Those ideas that I bring forth are all that there is. And I am a real being. I'm not an imaginative or material being. I am a real being. And that infinite being is forever bringing forth within itself the expression, the nature, the qualities of its being. In other words, it is saying, I am soul. I identify that which I am. And I cannot identify anything other than that which I am. I am bringing forth all of my qualities. And I am able to define those qualities and delineate them one from another. That infinite subjective being is stating within itself, I am principle. I am not a person. I am the one infinite person of my own being. And I cannot be fragmented. And there is nothing within me that can divide itself into replicas of what I am called people. There is only the one infinite person that I am, structuring and systematizing and controlling all that I am. I am the controlling center of my own being. And that wonderful infinite being says, and I am life. I am forever renewing and revitalizing and expressing my divine person as an infinite individuality. I exist always, and never is there a time when I will cease to exist. That wonderful, infinite, divine being states itself also as truth. It says, I am truth. I never lie. I am always correct. I have every intrinsic calculus within my being. I have the ideal incorporated within my consciousness, and I am conscious of the whole of what I am. And then you can just feel it saying, and I am love. I include everything within myself. I am a unified, integrated, purposeful being. I am absolutely fulfilled. There is nothing within me that has ever felt empty or lost or as if it were in a void. I am perfect. I am the all in all. As we have gone forth with the elucidation of that which being is saying about itself, we have been hearing it from the standpoint of the level of Christian Science. We've been hearing, therefore, the linear unfoldment and elucidation, the linear order, so to speak, of how that infinite being would unfold that which it is if it did it in a time sense, so to speak. It doesn't. It's just that we perceive it that way because of our sludge, so to speak, in the gears, because we feel that we seem to perceive everything in a sense of time. So you can see that really all that's going on here is one infinite being with a great desire within itself to bring forth the qualities of its own being. So therefore you can hear why Max named the law on the absolute Christian Science level there in the word, the law of divine impulsion, because you just can't help it. Just after a while, you just feel this surge of incredible energy that exists within life there as life elucidates itself into life, truth, and love. It's just this incredible divine subjective being that is bringing forth everything that it is, and it's bringing it forth within the matrix of its own integrated being, within its own integrated perfection. It's bringing it forth knowingly. It's bringing it forth within a teleological plan. It knows from the beginning what it's bringing forth. It's bringing forth what it is. It knows all of the qualities that it is. It knows it has the intrinsic plan and purpose built in. It's a pre-established plan, a pre-established purpose, and it knows what it's doing. So as it brings forth the wonderful nature of its being, as it shines it forth, as it calls it forth, as it declares that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love of its own being, as it brings forth the ideas, the intelligence, the substantiation, the specific nature, the structure, the eternality, the consciousness, and the perfection of its own being, as it's bringing that forth, it knows what it's doing. It just can't help it. It just is what it is, and it's got to express itself from within. And I really am just not outside of that. That expressiveness that is going on within being truly is the expressiveness that is going on within my being. If I'm only open to this place in law, this function within my own being, as long as I am open to, quote unquote, the word, as long as I am open really to this wonderful impelling force that is going on within being, then it is going to impel my every action. And that's really what we're after. On the next page that I've given you kind of a breakdown of how these laws are functioning together as one. It's really just the same. It's just a different view of it. You really get the wonderful picture that that divine subjective being I have there is impelling, right? It's bringing forth, it's declaring, it's revealing. What is it revealing? It's revealing the mind of its own being. We've just gone over that. But if you want to look at the detail of that, the structure of that, since that being is bringing forth really the 7x7 matrix of its own being, because that's the true form of its being. What is the true form is the 7x7 matrix of its being, the fact that it is mind through love times mind through love. So therefore, you can see that that being then is not only bringing forth and elucidating and speaking about the mind of its being, but in so doing, it is automatically speaking about the mind of its mind, the spirit of its mind, the soul of its mind, the principle, the life, truth, and love of its mind. Those are just adjectives, in a sense, that are describing the qualities of its mind. And that as it is bringing forth the spirit of its being, it is simultaneously bringing forth the mind of that spirit, the spirit of that spirit, the soul of that spirit, the principle, life, truth, and love of that spirit. And those just sound like code terms right now, but when we start viewing them through their qualities, viewing them through their functions, then they become very warm and very alive, and they don't feel separate from us at all. But in order to set out the function, in order to put out the clear mathematics, it's important, and the reason that I've done it is that you just have the clear symbol, and then you can interpret and interpret and interpret as that principle guides you to interpret individually. So that divine subjective being then is bringing forth the sevenfold nature of its mind, the sevenfold nature of its spirit, the sevenfold nature of its soul, of its principle, of its life, of its truth, of its love. And don't miss that, because if you miss that, you miss the mesh, the tight mesh. A lot of us have gone over the word and gone over the word and gone over the word and gone over mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and how they unfold one to the other, to the other, to the other, so that you never do anything out of order, you know, and we've done this and done this. But what we haven't done enough is clear all the little mesh that's in there. And that's why I felt that a way to bring out the beauty of this law was to do it through the chapter of prayer, not seen from the same standpoint that Max gave it last summer, which was through the standpoint of text interpretation, but utilizing his findings, recognizing that each place value that he brought out as a specific position is a position in law, and that he just brought out the wonderful tight mesh that is contained within that chapter of prayer. For the chapter of prayer itself is a law of interdependence in the Word between Absolute Christian Science and Christian Science. That chapter of prayer truly is bringing out that which God is and our approach to that God. That which being is, and my approach, or false approach, as the case may be, to that being. So therefore, I felt that a wonderful way to explore the infinite possibilities of this law of interdependence would be to very quietly and very slowly explore, but from the standpoint of law, those epitomes that Max brought out. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, however, because the first thing that I really want to do is sound the law itself so much, that law of interdependence, that you just have it ringing in your ears so that you can't forget it, you won't forget it, so that it isn't just an intellectual concept that you've perceived in your mind, but that your heart will just hear the tone, and it'll just ring and ring and ring, and somehow the combination will allow you to feel it kind of deep inside in the solar plexus so that you don't feel that it's outside of yourself. So what I want you to hear first is just this wonderful law of interdependence between impulsion and creativity, so that there's never a question of where creativity is coming from. So that the human never has a question, I want to be creative. How can I be creative? We are creative. We are functioning as law all the time. That law of creativity is a function that is forever going on within my being. So as the divine infinite being is impelling forth the sevenfold nature of its mind, of its spirit, of its soul, of its principle, of its life, of its truth, of its love, as it's bringing forth the sevenfold nature of its entire being, it is bringing forth the sevenfold nature of my entire being. You can hear it saying, and let there be light, as in the days of creation. Can you hear the law of interdependence there? And let there be absolute light, the relative, right? And let there be light, back up to the absolute, and there was light, and it was good. And let there be a firmament, and there was, and it was good. And let the dry land appear, the definite identities, and there was, and it was good. And let the sun, moon, and stars appear, that the function of principle, the universe. And they did, and it fulfilled its function. And then life. And let there be a multiplication, the fishes, the birds, the soaring thought. You can just feel life all over the place. It's really saying, and let there be life. And there was, and it was good. And let there be cattle and all the symbols of man. Let there be definite symbols of the compound idea of man. And there was, and it was good. And let there be rest, because it's all done. It's all unified. It's all created. Never really had to be created. It's there. It's fulfilled. It's perfect. The purpose is accomplished. It is. It's done. So there you have a very commonly sounded law of interdependence in the word, one that all of us have been familiar with most of the days of our lives. But that helps you feel the way this law is echoing always in your experience. I'm going to stop now because she's only got a minute on the tape and I don't want to start the next